Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
If I had a dollar for every tweet that I've gotten of the image that's gone viral of social media of the it's like a Chuck E. Cheese character they found in like a dump somewhere, like a landfill somewhere. Everybody's sending it to me because I was the rat at Chuck E. Cheese. Do you think I was the only rat at Chuck E. Cheese? All right, there's a lot of people that had to do that dog-ass job. You think we liked doing it? It was miserable. You put on, you're dressed up as a giant stuffed animal. It smells. It was back before COVID when they used to sanitize. It didn't sanitize anything. So you walk out of there, you got BO. Then you got to go clean up some kid's birthday party, some spoiled brat, while the parents are drinking a pitcher of beer and letting them run amok because they don't want to clean up the mess at home. Then you go back into the stuffed animal costume. You walk around. Some kid walks up, hits you in the balls as hard as he can because he doesn't care. He just wants to piss off Chucky. And you just got to live that life over and over again. And it was back when minimum wage was like $4 an hour. All right, so I get it. There's a Chuck E. Cheese character in a landfill. Send it to everybody. There's been hundreds of thousands of Chuck E. Cheeses. I don't know why I'm the guy that gets labeled as the only person to dress up like the rat. Why me? Anyways, all right, let's get into this conversation here in the NFL. So J.J. Watt. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, J.J. Watt is an NFL player who really, really, really likes attention. All right, so we are going to give him the attention here on Fox Sports Radio, and we are going to do so in the second segment of the show. Now, he's probably going to take offense to the fact that we talked about Clay being in Cancun, and that place sucks. We also talked about the Dak Prescott contract, the Chuck E. Cheese found in a dump somewhere, and then we're now getting to J.J. Watt. So, in essence, he's fourth in the pecking order on today's show, but we're going to go ahead and we're going to roll with it and we're going to talk about J.J. Watt because longtime NFL reporter John Clayton listed four teams as a potential fit for J.J. Watt, all right? The Packers, the Titans, and the Bills, those are the three teams in the lead. Those are where people feel like he's going to end up. And the dark horse is the Las Vegas Raiders. All right. Now let's start with the Raiders. He's not going to be a Las Vegas Raider. All right. Let's just go ahead and say that. But he will be rumored to be a Las Vegas Raider. And that's because this is just typical John Gruden wants to link everything and be into everybody else and be, have a flirtatious relationship with every. John Gruden's a flirt. That's what it is. He's a flirt. And so if there's been any sort of rumblings about potential J.J. Watt going to Las Vegas or whatever, it's probably John Gruden fueled. I don't know if that's the case here. I don't have any evidence of that. But my best guess would be John Gruden started circulating this stuff, and that's where we find out that J.J. Watt is a dark horse. So I don't think he's going to end up in Las Vegas. I don't think he's going to be a Raider. And I don't think the Raiders should probably go in that direction because who knows, he's probably going to want to make a ton of money. It would be really fun theater. Him and John Gruden fighting for camera time would be a really, really fun thought, and that would be very enjoyable. But ultimately, I don't think J.J. Watt ends up with the Raiders. So I'm going to say the Raiders are out of it. The Packers make a lot of sense because J.J. Watt is from Wisconsin and people want to, do the connection, the hometown ties and all this stuff, and that's fine. So the Green Bay Packers make a lot of sense. The Packers feel like they've got a need. He could help their defense, and they're close to being a Super Bowl team. He looks at the quarterback situation with Aaron Rodgers, and that's one of the prerequisites for J.J. Watt. That's what he needs in order to want to consider your team as a potential landing spot for him. They've clearly got the quarterback. They've got Aaron Rodgers, and so they've got the hometown situation all wrapped up, and J.J. Watt to the Packers makes a ton of sense. Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills feel like a perfect landing spot for J.J. Watt, just in the sense that it's small town. If he goes there, no fan base is going to rally around him like any other than Buffalo. I mean, you could say whatever you want about them jumping through flaming tables, and during a couple of Patriots games, they threw a sex toy on the field. Listen, not everybody's perfect. Some people make mistakes, but that Bills fan base, they're going to wrap their arms around J.J. Watt, and they're going to welcome him in and say, you know what? You're us now. Welcome to the mafia. The Bills make a lot of sense in that regard, and J.J. Watt is going to love the love that he gets from Buffalo. You know, Anchor Bar, where they invented wings, are probably going to give him a lifetime supply. They're going to really sweeten the pot and try and make this whole thing happen, and J.J. Watt is going to love all of it. And then you got the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans clearly have a need, and the reason they have a need is because their defense is the diaper fire of football. They are awful. The Titans' defense is awful, and they can't rush the passer. And if you ever wanted to know what Mike Vrabel and the Titans thought about where they were defensively going into last season, consider this. They were in a bidding war for Jadeveon Clowney, who's never had double-digit sacks in a season. That's where we were at when it came to Tennessee Titans and their need for defense and for a pass rush and for their need to want to make sure that they could go ahead and had somebody on the defense. They were in a bidding war for Jadeveon Clowney. And if you were in a bidding war for a pass rusher and Jadeveon Clowney was your guy that late in the offseason, that was an indicator that, hey, we might have an issue over here. This might be a problem. It's a reason why Ryan Tannehill puts up the numbers he does. A, he has to. And B, he's got maybe the best running back in football. So that works with him and they can get up and down the field and it opens up things deep for A.J. Brown and some of those other guys. So those are the teams that are in the conversation when it comes to J.J. Watt and where he's going to end up. It feels like we're down to three, but we'll throw in the Raiders there if we want to add a fourth team. And here's what the odds say. The Raiders are a 13-1 underdog. You bet $100 on J.J. Watt going to the Raiders, and if he goes, you're going to win $1,300. Significant payout, but that's probably also an indicator that J.J. Watt's not going to be a Raider. And then you've got the Tennessee Titans sitting at +800. All right, Mike Vrabel knows J.J. Watt. They work together in Houston. That feels like a landing spot for everything I just added. I don't know that J.J. Watt's the answer. Ultimately, I don't think he ends up in Tennessee. Then you've got the Buffalo Bills at +375. All these bets, according to Fox Bet, they're sitting at +375. Pretty good payout for a team that fits all of what J.J. Watt is looking for. He's going to feel love from the fan base. They've got a franchise quarterback. They've got an offense. They just need to add a couple of pieces to try and get over the hump. And then you got the hometown Green Bay Packers at +185. For all the reasons we listed, hometown, quarterback, we're a game away from the Super Bowl. It feels to me like Buffalo and Green Bay make the most sense. If I'm a betting man, I probably bet on Buffalo just because of the +375. That seems like that would make a lot of sense for J.J. Watt, and it would make a lot of sense for you financially. So those are the teams as of right now. We are on J.J. Watt watch. We're trying to figure out where he's going to end up as a free agent. My best guess is he's going to try and milk this dry. He's going to try and get every ounce of this attention that he possibly can while he's a free agent. He's already been tweeting about it because he loves the attention. He loves to be chased, and he also loves it when Hard Knocks cameras just quote-unquote happen to be there when he's getting an extra workout after one of the episodes. So there's that. There's your J.J. Watt coverage. We're sorry we had you fourth on the show. We'll try and do better tomorrow if we have any other breaking news here on Outkick the Coverage. Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis here on Fox Sports Radio. You can get me on Twitter at the Jonas Knox, at the Jonas Knox on Twitter as we come to you live here from the Farmers Outkick Studios. Coming up next, there's a little bit of panic in the world of sports. Do not be alarmed. This is all because there is no NFL right now. All right, so we'll have that for you next.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis here. This is Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio. You can listen to the show, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up in a little over 15 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio, we've got a brand new feud in the world of sports. This is a good one. This is a juicy one, and I actually am going to take a side on this, but the side that I'm going to take might surprise some people. So we have a brand new feud in the world of sports. We'll have the details on that coming up in about 15 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. We are going to get to this other discussion about the NFL not being here, which is why the coverage of certain teams are getting what they're getting right now. But I just want to mention this about the Tiger Woods stuff. Look, it's okay to not have a hot take on Tiger Woods. Just want everybody to know that. It's all right. When the crash happened, the last thing I was thinking about was, hey, man, let me jump on social media and let everybody know what I think is the cause of the crash. Literally the last thing I thought about. I was just wondering, okay, how serious is the issue? Is there going to be surgery? If so, what kind of surgery? Is it life-threatening? Is he going to be okay? Like, I mean, the golf stuff is the golf stuff. And if Tiger Woods never swings a golf club again, I'm good, man. There's, like, to me, nothing that he could do from here on out is going to change the fact that I believe he's the greatest golfer of all time. You can argue the majors, you can argue the numbers and all that stuff, and that's fine. But for what I watched in the time that I've been a golf fan or watching golf, Tiger Woods is the best I've ever seen. So just for my opinion, nothing he does from here on out is going to change my mind. It's not going to change it. But just this rush to, well, gosh, I hope he wasn't drinking. Okay. I mean, was he on pills again? And like the latest one is, well, you know, maybe they should, you know, check his phone to see if he was texting while he crashed. Who cares? The guy crashed his car. Is it not bad enough? Do we need a cause? Like, we need, oh, no. We all got to know. No, the guy crashed his car. It's all right. Like, it's everything from, you know, windy road like that. He's got to know better. It's like, man, the guy had an accident. You know, the people from the police department came out and said, look, he had an accident. All right? It's not a crime. He's not being punished. He had an accident. And in that windy stretch of road, it happens. It just so happened to Tiger Woods. But this rush to have an opinion or a hot take on Tiger Woods getting in a car accident, I get it. It's sports. You don't have to have one. Right? It is optional. Like, I feel like we've got this thing to where, you know, I've got to send out 4 or 5 tweets a day that's going to have my opinion on a sports topic. You don't, actually. In fact, you don't even have to look at the app. You do have choices here. All right, this is not like you must wear a mask. All right, you do have choices here. You don't have to have a hot take about it. So we will keep you posted on the Tiger Woods situation. Any more developments that come out of there here on Fox Sports Radio. And hot take free, might I add. That is a hot take free content portion of the program when it comes to the Tiger Woods news. Let's get into this, though. So the Lakers, all right? The Los Angeles Lakers, the defending champs, they have lost again. They got absolutely dismantled by the Utah Jazz. And so, you know, there's a couple of ways that we could look at it. We could go, oh, my God, do you go into panic mode? You know, I mean, hey, no AD. And then when he does come back, I mean, what are we thinking about here? And then, oh, my God, you know, LeBron James and the number of minutes. And, you know, this is what we were concerned about. LeBron, you know, he's playing all these minutes. You know, maybe the time, you know, they don't look like the same team. You know, is there cause for concern? All right. In the NBA, I've never understood, ever, especially over the last 4 or 5 years, why we go over the top with the reactions, both good and bad, to the regular season. I've never understood it. It does not make any sense to me. The Lakers are going to be a playoff team. That's all that matters. They're going to be a playoff team. That's it. And in the NBA, because of the 7-game series format, all of these questions get answered. That's the one thing you never have to worry about in the NBA. The best team wins every single year. Every year, the best team wins. This isn't like a, well, you know, you got a couple of breaks here. Like, look, if you wanted to, I don't like to do this because it just doesn't make a lot of sense unless, you know, there's nothing else going on and we'll turn it into a topic, to be honest. But I don't like to do this. But if you wanted to, you could go to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers run to the Super Bowl and you could find moments there where they got a break or they got the benefit of the doubt here. They beat Washington on the road, but it was, you know, Taylor Heineke. I mean, the guy's named after a beer. What are we doing? Like, really? Like, I mean, we're gonna like, you know, ball wash Tom Brady for that performance. And yeah, so what? They beat the Saints. But look at Drew Brees. I mean, Drew Brees was a shell of himself. Couldn't get the ball down the field. So, of course, they were able to beat the Saints. And Aaron Rodgers, but there was that pass interference play at the end. And, you know, they caught a couple of breaks here and there. And then you get to the Super Bowl and, you know, Tyrann Mathieu and the call that was called back and the penalty. Like, all the, and, you know, Patrick Mahomes wasn't 100% and the offensive line injuries. You could do all that. Because it's a one-game series. But in the NBA, the best team's going to win every time. So this panic over a three-game losing streak, a four-game skid here, one team's 3-7 in their last 10, this other team can't win two in a row, they always struggle to do. It's like, what are we doing? This is all going to get figured out and all going to get sorted out. And if Anthony Davis is 100%, which is a big if, all right, that would be majority. My biggest concern with the Lakers would be that Achilles when he comes back, and are we going to see what happens similar to guys like Kevin Durant, guys like Richard Sherman, who knew something was wrong, came back, and they ended up rupturing it or coming away with a complete tear. If that's the conversation, then that's a legitimate conversation. This crap. This, oh my gosh, should we be worried about? No, you shouldn't, because it's going to get figured out in the playoffs. As long as they get there, those questions are going to be answered. The reason this is happening, though, is it's bad timing. That's all it is. It's just bad timing. It's like, you know, sometimes, you know, you're in the middle of getting dressed, you don't realize the, the door's unlocked and somebody walks in. It's bad timing. You know, like you forget to lock the door in the stall, you know, and you're taking care of business. And next thing you know, somebody walks in. It's just bad timing. They could have walked in moments before and you're on your phone looking something up on Google or shopping on Amazon. But they waited a minute and a half. And in that 90 seconds, you decided that was the time to go ahead and clean up. And that's when they walked in. It's bad timing. The Lakers picked a bad time to go through the worst portion of their season so far. Because the NFL just ended, and now everybody's walking into the stall going, hey, what's happening in the NBA? And the Lakers are wiping themselves. That's all it is. But people are freaking out like, oh my God, this is the championship team? It's fine. This stuff's okay. They're going to go through this crap. No pun intended, considering the most recent analogy of this. They're going to go through this stuff, and it's going to happen. But ultimately, if Anthony Davis is 100%, they're going to get to the playoffs, and then you figure it out from there. The best team is always going to win. So if you're a Laker fan, if you're one of these people that, you know, is trying to avoid sports talk because your team in the NBA is struggling right now, and they weren't struggling before, but now they are, and everybody's piling on, don't worry about it. It's bad timing. The NFL just ended, and now everybody has shifted their focus to the NBA. That's it.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
By the way, Justin Cooper does the highly rated Coop Scoop on Entertainment every single Friday morning on the Ben Maller Show here on Fox Sports Radio. And Coop, I'm going to do a little bit of your work for you coming up tomorrow. You know, this is what I want to do. I want to be able to help you out here. So just I'm going to make things a little bit easier for you.
Well, I do it before you come on.
Well, no, I'm saying I'm giving it to you now. I'm giving it to you now.
Oh, right now. Okay.
Show. Yeah,
he's
going
to give it to you right now.
Yeah. you got issues, Roberto. All right, you got issues. You need to calm down. And by the way, Roberto, you need to clean up after yourself. That mess you made next to the window in the studio.
Here,
you clean that up.
That's not me, man.
By the way, what a slob.
The slobs, man.
Whoever the slob is that spilled the salsa all over the window in the studio and didn't clean it up, get your act together, you slob. Last Chance U. Coop, are you a fan of Last Chance U? Did you ever watch it?
No.
The football show? All right.
I did not.
Last Chance U is about junior college football. It's one of the best shows Netflix ever did. And it takes you behind the scenes on these powerhouse JUCO programs, and you follow these kids and just sort of their issues off the field. And they call it Last Chance U because they had Division I scholarships. They had their big-time talent, but they're down to their last chance. And so they go to these junior college programs to try and, you know, right their wrongs and then get to a big-time program. And it's awesome. Well, they stopped doing football. So they finished up with football, and now they're going to do Last Chance U basketball. So they've announced that's going to be coming out on March 10th. So that's always a fun I have no idea how the basketball is going to compare to the football, but that's going to happen. Also, Coop, did you see what movie is being made towards the end of the year? And they'll be filming in New York City. Did you see this one?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, I want you to think about underrated, doesn't get talked about TV show series that you and I discuss behind the scenes. And I'll give you a hint. Showtime.
Oh, I did hear about this. They're wrapping up Ray Donovan with a movie.
Damn right, baby.
Yeah.
Ray Donovan back with a movie coming up towards the end of this year. That, first of all, that show doesn't get the credit it deserves, man.
I agree.
Roberto, that's enough, Roberto. All right. I'm sorry it's not a Dolce Ambition, okay? I'm sorry it's not one of those crummy shows. My wife watches that. That show sucks, man. I don't understand. First of all, it's on the Spanish channel, but it's in Brazilian. So the subtitles, they don't even match up. Like, they try and dub in the sound. It doesn't even match up. Ray Donovan had some crummy parts. There were a couple of points during the series where it took a dip, and you're like, dude, here we go again, man. Like, he's in another fight. He's got a bat in the trunk. We know how this is going to go. But I thought they finished strong. And then because of the shutdown, they announced they weren't coming back. But now they've announced that they're going to be filming in New York City or in New York coming up later on in this year, and they're going to wrap it up with a movie. It's the way it should have been done, Coop. Try to take it from us. And John Voight is so good in that show. He is so. I think he won awards, if I'm not mistaken. Didn't he?
He is really good in the show. It's a shame he's such a moron in real life.
Okay, well, there he is, everybody. There he is. There he is. I'm not one to call names here on the air. All right, that's the last thing I want to do. I'm not going to call names here, but Justin Cooper has just taken out John Voight for some reason. I don't know. Listen, I don't know. I don't know what your issue or what your gripe with. Did you work with him or something, Cooper?
No, I didn't. No, he's just an idiot, and I can't believe that goddess came from his loins.
Oh, I know.
What goddess are you talking about?
Angelina.
I know. I'm well aware. Is she still a goddess?
No, unfortunately.
My God.
But we will always remember her for the goddess she was.
Jesus, you guys are like the Bludgeon Brothers. You're just wiping people out left and right. I mean, like, Roberto's throwing salsa all over the studio.
No, that's not me.
Coop's ripping John Voight. And then I ask you about Angelina Jolie, and you say she's no longer a goddess. I mean, maybe she's beautiful. I mean,
She is. But at one point, no woman on the planet came even close.
Oh, yeah. Let me... Yeah, you know, somebody might be listening. I got to be careful here. I'm not doing this. I just refuse to do it. I'm not walking down that dark alley. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, it could be a little jealous.
A little jealous. a little jealous.
I know.
Have you seen the meme? There's a meme they made. You know the part in Training Day where they've got Ethan Hawke in the bathtub and they've got the sawed off shotgun.
The
double barrel shotgun. There's a meme that they made that said, "What do you mean you're not hungry, mijo?" with the gun pointed to his face. you don't want to piss him off. You know, they're very, very fiery. My wife's very, very fiery, so I'm not looking to piss her off. Just trying to run a tight ship here on Fox Sports Radio. That's all I'm trying to do. All right, Jonas Knox here on FSR. Last Chance U. It's phenomenal, man. If anybody's never seen Last Chance U, the football show, if you've ever gone to a JUCO game or you've ever watched junior college football or followed it or been to some of these. My brothers played junior college football, so I went to a bunch of games growing up, And it is the real deal, man. These are guys that, you know, maybe their grades aren't up to snuff. Maybe they've got some character issues. Really talented. You talk to a lot of D1 programs, they'll look at the JUCO level when they're thinking about recruiting, even more so than high school, because they go, these are more like men. These are guys that have advanced past high school. These are guys that have played real competition. Steve Smith went to a JUCO. Chad Onchocinco was at a JUCO. And you watch Last Chance U, and you just see some of the studs on that field, and you see where they end up. And a couple of them actually have gone to the NFL afterwards. So Last Chance U, the basketball show. We'll see how that shapes out coming up March 10th.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
This just came out, according to Diana Rossini of ESPN. J.J. Watt has received several offers from teams. The best offer he has received right now is between $15 to $16 million per year, per sources. I had seen $12 million. I had seen that number being thrown out there, that he was probably going to be around $12 million. If this is the case, that's more than I would have expected J.J. Watt was going to get. But, you know, we will see how that shapes up. There was a report from John Clayton who said J.J. Watt, the teams that it looks like are going to make the strongest push to try and go and sign J.J. Watt or to make a run at J.J. Watt, those three teams were going to be the Titans, the Packers, and the Bills. And he also listed the Raiders as a dark horse team. I don't see the Raiders happening. I just don't see how that works. I don't see how the Raiders, you know, how that makes a lot of sense in the sense of J.J. Watt getting to Las Vegas. I think this is all about John Gruden, you know, wanting to flirt with everybody publicly, you know, wanting to talk about all these other players and wanting to talk about, like, the Raiders just doesn't make sense to me. Like, J.J. Watt with the Raiders doesn't make sense. But the Titans would make some sense. I think the Titans are desperate for anything on defense. They're, you know, one of the worst pass rushing teams in the NFL. They were near the bottom of the league in sacks, which is why they were in all the way on Jadeveon Clowney and were in a bidding war for Jadeveon Clowney. The Packers make a lot of sense just because of the hometown connection. And so you look at that and go, well, you know, he gets to go back to Wisconsin. And then I think the Bills make a lot of sense because they fit all the requirements and all the criteria for J.J. Watt. They've got the franchise quarterback. They were a game away from a Super Bowl a year ago. He wants to go play for a contender, so that would make some sense for J.J. Watt as well, too. So we will keep you posted on that as to whether or not J.J. Watt makes a decision anytime soon. My best guess, similar to Drew Brees, they're going to stretch this out a little bit. You know, you just like the attention a little bit. And I don't blame him. If I was going to be a free agent and, you know, in demand, I'd maybe want to, you know, stretch this out as far as I could possibly get it as well, too. So J.J. Watt feels like that's where he's going to take this thing. And then Drew Brees just feels like he's waiting for the right time until there's no news in the NFL so he can announce his retirement. Again, not trying to be negative, just going based on reputation and how these guys have behaved in the past. That's all I'm saying. Just, you know, just want to point that out here. So we will be catching up with Brady Quinn here coming up momentarily on Fox Sports Radio. Get his thoughts on some of these rumblings at the quarterback position around the NFL, plus draft rumors. Some of these draft rumors that are out there, whether it's Zach Wilson going to go ahead of Trevor Lawrence, and some people like one player over another, just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. So are we connected with Brady Quinn yet here on Fox Sports Radio? Are we... Okay, so we are connecting with Brady Quinn. We got the red carpet for the guy. He's very in demand, very, very popular. So we've got to roll out the red carpet, and we've got to let it be known that that Brady Quinn is now joining the show. We've got to give all his credentials out. We've got to talk about all the TV he does. We got to talk about the stuff on you know, the things he does on social media. We've got to talk about all the radio he does. We got to talk about him being a first-round draft pick. We got to talk about him being the pride and joy of South Penn and Dublin, Ohio. But why do we got to talk about all that? Let's pump up the music and, ladies and gentlemen, roll out the golden carpet in your ears and welcome in the man I do a show with every single Sunday night here on Fox Sports Radio. And that man is Brady Quinn, my man, the pride of Dublin. What's happening?
You know the funniest part about these very, I don't know how to describe them, this over-the-top intros?
Yeah, what's that?
It's the fact that you know I hate them, and you do it every single
what do you mean?
Time.
I thought you liked this. I thought you liked this kind of attention.
No.
You don't like this?
No, I absolutely hate it. You know that after working together for 5 years.
Hey, so J.J. Watt, I don't know if you saw this, Brady Quinn, but I didn't.
What, did he have his shirt off again?
No, he didn't, and there's no Hard Knocks cameras around. But I didn't know this. So Diana Rossini sent a tweet out that J.J. Watt has received several offers from teams, and the best offer he's received is between $15 and $16 million per year. If that's the case, are you surprised it's that high? Like, I'm surprised that it would be that much, or am I you know, underselling J.J. Watt's importance to the next team he decides to go to?
Well, look, I mean, he had a great year last year. I realize he's missed some time. He's dealt with some injuries. But, you know, this guy is a former, at his best, defensive player of the year in the league. It just, the question is whether or not, you know, how much of that he still has left in him. You know, look, not knowing the duration of that contract, how much is there in guarantees because of his injury history and because of his age and the position that he plays, you know, it's hard to kind of know how much of that's actually legitimate, right? For example, you know, Tyrell Williams just got cut from the Raiders. He was, I think, 2 years through a four-year deal for $44 million, right? That's how it was reported. That's how Rossini or others would report it. The reality of that contract is it was never going to be close to that number. That's just the agent who gets to a lot of the reporters that pumps up the value of what actually the deal is. So until we actually see the duration, the guarantees, the value and all that, I really don't know what to make of all of it. It's probably just the agent wanting to kind of peacock around a little bit about the deals that are coming in.
Oh, man, I love the way you say that. Brady Quinn here joining us on Fox Sports Radio. Fox NFL college football analyst, Fox Sports Radio host, Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis here on FSR. So the Steelers announced it looks like Ben Roethlisberger is going to be back. Not surprising, right? Considering where they're at, the situation they're in, but they're going to try and rework the contract. What do you, when they say, well, all right, we're going to have to rework the contract, what do they mean by reworking the contract? How do you think this looks next season for Ben Roethlisberger?
Well, they've got to extend them and include some voidable years, similar to what they've done with Drew Brees, right? And what that means is essentially you're going to convert a portion of whatever number that is, which they've already kind of restructured. And so his cap hits $41 million bucks this year, but he's already been paid some of those monies. And really, he's only making about $19 million for this particular year of service. And so the question becomes, how much of that can you continue to keep kicking the can down the road, whether you extend him for a year or 2 years, and then put in those voidable years? Because the trouble with doing that is, let's just say, for example, they extend him, and this is his last year playing. Well, you know, next year they'll end up all the money they tried to push down the road over the next 2 years, it all comes right back to next year's cap. And even though he's not going to be playing on that roster, he's still going to be counting as if he's playing on that roster to some amount. And so that's the issue, is, you know, you could keep pushing this stuff off towards the future, but eventually you have to account for it. And then it's going to end up hurting future teams' salary cap. But the reason why I think they're going to do that now is because once we get through this year, once this TV deal is signed, the salary cap's going to skyrocket back up. So they should have enough space to be able to make it work.
What's your best guess as to where the salary cap's going to be? Because it's at, what, 185? Is that where we're at for this year? Have they determined that? Is that the final number?
I've seen somewhere between 181 and 185. They haven't really I don't know that they've declared an exact number or figure yet, but that's kind of the ballpark. I don't know that it will get to 185. It'll depend upon the revenues from this past year once they have a chance to review it. The reality is, though, you know, if the TV deal is what everyone says it's going to be, which it's being reported to be a 10-year deal, it's going to double in value, and it's probably the last time we're going to see something like this, only because of the fact that broadcast and cable, which still dominates, but that number 10 years from now is going to be drastically different with so many people switching to streaming. So the structure of these deals is going to look different with the way they go about doing it, and this might be the last big one, at least for the cable and network providers, or broadcast providers. So, you know, what's that number going to look like? I mean, it was almost $200 million this past year going into it. I think it will jump back up into, like, 210, maybe, you know, 220, depending on what those numbers look like and how they're distributed and how fast they can realize those gains. So that's the hard part, is you know, it might not come into a play in 2022, but by 2023, 2024, the NFL is going to be very, very healthy, still making a ton of money.
And so do you think, is there going to be a strategy, or are free agents or players going to look at this and go, hey, you know, maybe I take a one-year deal and come back next year when there's more money around? Or is that too risky in the NFL with all the injuries that happen and occur, and you just take whatever contract you can get when it's offered?
Yeah, I think you're going to see a combination of things. I think you see a lot of one-year deals, but or in essence, two-year deals that are looked at as one-year deals. And that way, if they want to pay them, because they're so concerned about the salary cap, you know, they can, you know, pay a heftier signing bonus and then spread it out over a couple of years, right? So that number's, you know, kind of cut in half. You know, so let's say, for example, you know, if you're giving a guy a $10 million contract over 2 years, if you, you know, if you give him an $8 million signing bonus, you know, you're able to split that number now over the next couple of years as far as how it's going to impact your salary cap. You can prorate it. And so it lessens your cap hit. And in a year where I think a lot of people are trying to create space or create room so they can still fill out their rosters and maximize their ability to sign guys in free agency, you know, I could see a lot of those scenarios. So, like, I think one-year deals will be pretty common, but I also wouldn't be surprised to see some two-year, three-year deals too, you know, just where they're going to pay a hefty signing bonus, but then not actually pay them a big salary, but be able to spread that signing bonus over the next 2 or 3 years to lessen the cap hit.
Brady Quinn, Fox NFL college football analyst, Fox Sports Radio host, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox in for Clay Travis here on FSR. This is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Joel Corey put together what I thought was pretty interesting, just sort of a sample contract as to what it could look like in regards to Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. And look, there's a lot of numbers involved, but the average, you know, annual salary he was talking about was $41.5 million for Dak Prescott. Are you amazed that we're even still here, that this deal it has taken this long to get done? And just the idea that people continue to push back on the fact that Dak Prescott's going to get paid no matter what. Like if I told you 2-3 years ago, hey, you know, we're still going to be having this conversation about Dak Prescott, but don't worry, they'll pay their running back and wide receiver. To me, this is all on the Cowboys.
It's on the Cowboys because they haven't, you know, figured out a point in which they should just commit or agree to that long-term deal that it looks like it's a big number because we see the total amount he's going to be being paid. But, you know, look at Goff, look at Wentz. You know, the teams moved on after those deals relatively quickly, and other teams were willing to, you know, go ahead and trade for them. Granted, giving up draft compensation and, you know, a player in the case of the Rams and the Lions. But the reality is, you know, we look at that and we're like, oh my gosh. You know, for example, the Eagles are paying $34 million for a player that's not even on their roster this year. You know, that's what the Eagles will have, $34 million of a cap hit. And you know, Wentz isn't even there. He's with the Colts. But the truth is, you know, as you start to look at a lot of these bigger long-term deals, that number is only going to go up and up and up and up. So, you know, am I surprised that the Cowboys had waited this long? Not really, and really for this reason. Dak Prescott, in his first 3 years, his best year was his rookie year. And then it was like, all right, he kind of needs some help. He needs everything to be perfect out around him. And then really the past year and, you know, what, however many games he played last year, 4 or 5, 6 games, whatever it was, you know, a year and whatever it was last year, he really displayed why, all right, they made a mistake. They should have extended him back then. Because, you know, after that first year when he lit the world on fire as a rookie and played really well, he kind of was just okay. And he kind of was like, all right, do we want him to see him moving in the right direction? Since that point he has, and that's where he's really, I think, been able to garnish all the leverage. And that's where, I mean, Jerry Jones has admitted he's got all the leverage at this point. It's just about them realizing that they've got to agree to that astronomical number with a player that's coming off of an injury. So you don't know how that's going to work. And you also have to think to yourself, like, all right, like, this is a pretty talent, you know, star-studded roster. You know, could someone else come in and do the same thing? And are we willing to let Dak Prescott walk in order to draft one or bring one in and find out? And that's a gamble that I don't think Jerry Jones or Stephen Jones is willing to take.
By the way, you mentioned Carson Wentz. I want to let you know that karma is a real thing here for people out on Sports Talk Radio. I want to let Brady Quinn know, everybody listening here on Fox Sports Radio, karma is a real thing because – You know, I was making a couple of jokes about, you know, that zit Carson Wentz had that on the back of his neck during our show last week on Fox Sports Radio. I don't know if you remember that, Brady Quinn. I was making comments about, you know, that duffel bag for a zit he had on the back of his neck. Do you remember that? We were having that discussion.
I don't recall this. This is actually the first I'm hearing this. Maybe I blocked it out, but this is the first I'm hearing of, any sort of acne or zit that was on Carson Wentz's neck.
Well, I'll have you know, I never had acne growing up. I have dry skin. I never had acne. I woke up yesterday morning with a baked potato on the side of my cheek. I mean, the thing is huge. And I just want you to know that that was clearly karma. I got what I deserved. I made a couple of jokes about a guy who had some acne on the back of his neck. And here we are. I'm walking around with this giant thing on my face. So I just want you to know that karma is a real thing. Just letting you know.
Well, maybe you should try to get Carson on as a guest, and he could help you out figure out what to do with him.
That's very good. Yeah, that would be. I'm sure he wants everything to do with a show like this.
By the way, the type of sports talk radio that you're all about. So yeah.
Of course it would. By the way, you do, in all seriousness, you do really good stuff. You have a foundation, the Third and Goal Foundation. Tell people just a little bit about it, and if they want to find out more information about what Brady Quinn does for veterans, where can they go to do so?
Yeah, so it's called the Third and Goal Foundation. It really was started back about 11 years ago now. My dad served in Vietnam. My grandfather had served in World War II, and which kind of I've always been raised to appreciate, you know, the military, all our veterans out there, everyone who sacrificed so much for our liberties and freedoms. So I decided to create a foundation that helps honor them, and we do it in three ways. We have Operation Home, where we remodel homes to make them handicap accessible for wounded veterans. Operation Education, where we put on educational platforms to help them start, finish, or continue their education. And then Operation Joy, which is really where we go about, in particular around the holiday times, helping out military families in need. So to find out more information, you go to thirdandgoalfoundation.org or 3ng.com. It's a little easier to find us there.
Yeah, no, it's awesome stuff. You do really great work, and you've helped a lot of people, so it's been tremendous. He is Brady Quinn, Fox NFL college football analyst, a Fox Sports Radio host. We will be working side by side, not literally, but side by side Sunday nights, 8 to 11 Eastern time, 5 to 8 Pacific time here on Fox Sports Radio. My man, have a good rest of your Thursday, and we'll talk this weekend, babe.
Sounds good. You as well.
There he is, the great Brady Quinn here on Fox Sports Radio. That's a true story about the karma. Because there was like a shot on the sidelines a couple years ago. Carson Wentz on the back of his neck. I mean, I'm not kidding you. It looked like, you know, a duffel bag. And they just were doing this close-up. And I was like, dude, get this guy's zit off my TV. Like, I don't want to look at this. And so I was talking about it this past weekend, and I woke up yesterday morning. I'm not even kidding you. This thing's huge. And so it's clearly I got what I deserve. So you shoot your mouth off, and you get called out for it. I mean, not like Matthew Judon and that Ravens reporter, who apparently is cheating on his wife, according to Matthew Judon, but similar.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.